This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. Beast is out today. We're going to talk to ESPN's Errol Hawani in just a few minutes or scheduled to.
Oh, did you see this? Texter just brought it up.
Yep.
Kelsey, the center, the brother, went to the wrong sideline.
When?
During the game.
No, I didn't notice that.
He got hit.
The center?
Yeah.
He's not with the Eagles anymore?
He's with the Eagles. Went to the wrong sideline.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
It's a Football Friday. It's brought to you by Yingling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Yingling, spread your wings. Hoopsville, Pennsylvania. Please drink responsibly. Keep on listening before the end of the segment. I will give a pair of tickets away to Riptide, which is coming up November 23rd and 24th on Fort Lauderdale Beach. And this year's headliner is The Killers. Riptide is powered by Ford. It is Broward County's 2019 signature event. So keep on the lookout for that as we have that coming up. It's always a good time. And we can go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient that we'll find ESPN's Errol Hawani. Errol, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. Good. Listen, it's hard times down here in Miami as far as sports is concerned with the Dolphins and the Hurricanes and the Marlins. My God. But the one shining light we have right now is Jorge Masvidal. The city is fired up for November when he takes on Nate Diaz. Yesterday was the press conference. It was a weird atmosphere, man. I was watching that thing live, and it seemed like it was a little bit kooky.
Well, first I'd like to say that my heart does not bleed for Miami as a Buffalo Bills fan, as a Montreal Expos fan, as a New York Knicks fan. I love what's going on over there to your sports team. I just have to say that I hope that doesn't get me kicked off the air, but I don't feel bad for you guys. I will also like to say that it's about time the 305 gets behind Jorge Masvidal. I mean, it only took you guys 16 years to finally recognize that this is one of the best things going on and one of the best products to come out of that region. And it's really cool to see them finally starting to rally around him. And as for the press conference, I was not surprised by that scene, so to speak, because what you have to understand is, like, in MMA and these big press conferences that are highly anticipated, they're almost like fights, especially with guys like Diaz and Masvidal, who are so cerebral, and they're both counterpunchers when it comes to press conferences. They both like to let someone kind of start, and then they will respond. That's what made the Diaz-McGregor fights, or excuse me, their press conferences, so entertaining. In this case, they were both kind of hanging back, chilling, and kind of waiting for the other guy, and no one really, you know, took that lead. So it kind of came across as a dud, but it was still fun to see them, you know, face off, and the setting was cool too.
Well, the atmosphere, it reminded me very much. I was telling the audience, like, we, you know, Leroy and I go to a lot of the regional fights down here, and, you know, the thing with Miami fights is a lot of the times the fighters, they're going to end up not doing the fighting by the end of it. It's going to be the crowd here. Like, their friends get very intense, and so it sounded very much like Jorge Masvidal's entourage or everybody there to support him. Like, I saw a guy, Ryan Cortez. He was saying that a lot of people out there in the Canes and the Dolphins and the Heat jerseys there, I can only imagine all the Miami bros who are trying to egg on and start their own shenanigans up there while this whole press conference is going down.
Yeah, the three fans left of the Marlins and Heat were in attendance, so that was really cool to see. I'm joking. Come on. Nothing? All right. I will say it actually was kind of split, I thought. It was almost interesting how, I don't even know if the fans knew that, but it was basically two sections of fans, and then the media was in the middle, and there was the stage where the fighters were sitting, and the side closest to Diaz seemed to be siding with Diaz, and then the side closest to Masvidal seemed to be siding with Masvidal. I don't know if they did that on purpose, but they kind of adopted their guy once they found out who was sitting where, and that made for a really fun scene. I wish that they let some of the fans, you know, talk, because there wasn't a ton of media there, and there were some wacky questions, But, you know, that setting was cool to have the bridge behind them. And look, there's like a deep respect between the two of them, but there's also a little bit of a tension, I feel like, as well. Like, they, no one wants to overstep their bounds. No one wants to insult the other guy. So I just find watching their body language and watching the way they interact with each other interesting. And, of course, Masvidal's suit pretty much stole the show.
Ariel, I always look at, like, these press conferences, and I could tell the respect that the fighters have for one another by how they go at each other. And I think more than anything, these guys really respect the type of fighters that these, that each other are, that they really didn't feel the need to disrespect the other guy. And that's why it kind of seemed rather docile.
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, in many respects, they're kind of mirror images of each other. Just one guy represents Northern California. The other guy represents, you know, South Florida. But, you know, they've had similar careers. They've had disappointing losses. They've never really been able to win the big one, the big title. They have double-digit losses. I bet there's boxing fans who are listening to us get all excited about this fight and be like, wait, these guys with double-digit losses are part of the biggest fights in the UFC this year? How does that make any sense? And it just goes to show that for some reason or another, as far as our sport is concerned, the losses just don't mean as much. And fans just want to, you know, get behind their guy. And if you're fun to get behind, if you're real, if you're authentic, if you always bring it, they don't really care if you, you know, win one here, lose one there, win two here, lose one there. And so they, I feel like they have that respect because they've both been around the game. They're not Johnny-come-latelys. They haven't taken any shortcuts. You look at their records, it's very similar. You know, they're both Latino, so there's a lot there, and that's why I think you will not hear any real trash talk leading up to this fight.
Well, one of the things I've found fascinating, it's been said, is like, well, why is it, what has been the secret sauce to George? Like, why is it now, you know, him blowing up? But, you know, when we've had him on in the past, like, he's always rough around the edges. Like, he's broken our damn dump button before. He's one of the rawest guys you can talk to. But I think the thing that's been kind of fun watching it is he's really embraced now being a star. Like, he's almost a media darling in some regards with how much attention he's getting and soaking it up. And Nate is still Nate, but George seems like he is enjoying this time in the spotlight.
100%. And again, it's kind of wild to see a guy who's been doing this for 16 years, who has 47 pro fights under his belt, finally start to get that recognition. And now he's on, like, all the big shows on ESPN. And afterwards, everyone's like, wow, this guy is great. He's hilarious. He's so much fun to talk to. And this may be a little bit inside baseball, but his manager, Abraham Kawa, deserves the boatload of credit for this. He's really good when it comes to marketing fighters. He's really good when it comes to pinpointing their strengths and weaknesses. And he recognized that, like, there was something special in this guy, and he just wasn't bringing it out. He told me an interesting story recently that after Masvidal beat Michael Chiesa a few years ago, he was actually managing Chiesa, and he knew that Masvidal was going to win that fight. He told Chiesa not to take the fight. After the fight, he went up to Masvidal. He's like, you got to call someone out. You got to make some noise on the mic. And Masvidal didn't do it, and the whole thing kind of, like, felt like a dud. And then finally he called him up, and he's like, look, man, you're wasting your career. You need to start, you know, getting your personality out there. And look, you know, shortly thereafter, he actually signed with him, and look what he's become. Look at the, you know, the Askren fight, look at the Till fight. Like, they've just been really smart over the last year. So last year, Masvidal didn't even fight. He was, like, totally out of the game. And look what's happened this year. It's an amazing story.
So even though this is on the line for their bad mother bleeper belt, and, you know, the records are kind of thrown out, does George need this win more to keep this momentum going, or do you feel like he has made it? Like, if he doesn't come out on top in this fight with Nate, the star has arrived, or does he need this win to solidify and kind of stay on the top and stay in the spotlight?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Again, I'll say that I don't know if losses mean as much in this sport, especially if it's a really close fight. I mean, he's had a lot of split decision losses, and those are tough pills to swallow, and it sort of derailed his career. But I think if this is a close fight back and forth, the fans will feel like they got their money's worth. And I don't think there's often times where a guy loses and his stock goes up. I mean, just recently, Dustin Poirier lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I feel like his stock went up after that fight, even though it was somewhat one-sided. MMA fans are just different. I don't know why, but they really, like, look at Daniel Cormier when he got knocked out by John Jones. He became more popular after that, because he wore his heart on his sleeve and he showed emotion. So a win will be nice because it will set up a lot of big things. Could it set up the Connor fight down the line? Absolutely. And a lot of things will come as a result of that. But I don't think it's, make or break. Like, the loser of this fight goes back to the prelims and no one cares about them anymore.
All right, we appreciate the time. I'm not going to be rude and take any shots at the Knicks, even though you took three shots at Miami on this interview. I'm going to allow that.
I'm going to
let it pass because they went the entire two seasons tanking and they lost to
99.
The Allen Houston, poor Jeff Van Gundy hanging on that
How
leg.
How long are we going back to talk about when your team was good?
98, 99.
I feel so bad what you've done to David Fizdale. He enjoyed his seat next to Eric Spoelstra for so long, and now look at him. You have him up there with.
He couldn't wait to get out of there. He went to Memphis with James Dolan. He left Miami to go to Memphis.
That's how badly
he wanted to get out of there.
He's got that kook James Dolan with his harmonica band, and he's like, "Well, we're gonna tank. It's gonna work out. We're gonna get Zion."
That's low-hanging fruit, all right? Let's talk 98, 99, 2000.
You want me to go back two decades to get the high fruit?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Ariel Helwani.
Man, you want to talk about the Dolphins. How bad you got to be when you're talking about your team's last success was in early 2000s, late 1990s.
Well, the thing that sucks about NBA tanking, this is why I play both sides. When it comes to NBA,
there's no guarantee you're going to get the number one pick.
Yeah, ping pong balls is so stupid. What a stupid method. Ping pong balls.
Well, it's a way of not having teams tank.
I know, but they seem to do it more egregiously in that sport than any other one.
And it's not a guarantee you get the first pick.
Oh, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.